Hey there, thanks for tuning in. This is Pastor Rex Baker, pastor of Pursuit Church, and we're so glad that you have tuned in today to hear the teaching of God's Word. I pray that it will encourage you and draw you closer to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So let's listen in.
Well, good morning. I am Pastor Rachel, and I serve here at The Pursuit as our Associate of Children's and Outreach. And today, I have the joy to be able to share the good news with you and the lesson, because Pastor Rex and many of our men are up at one of my most favorite places in the world, Camp Kellogg. Now, Camp Kellogg is a very special place where I first was called into ministry. And then years later, I finally said yes and accepted that call to become a pastor. Up at Camp Kellogg, through the beauty of nature, the calming and stillness of God's word and his love, people will leave transformed. It is holy ground that good and wonderful things happen. And today, I'm a little nervous because I want to share with you some of the transformational work that has happened in my life as a result of going up on the mountain and being able to listen to God. So I'm a little nervous because it's deeply personal, and I love that I get to share this opportunity with each of you, our church family. So up on the screen, you will see my beautiful family. So I am, myself and Jeff, we are a blended family, and we are relatively new to this blended family. Me and Jeff have been married for 7 years. We just celebrated our 7th year anniversary in March. And yeah, I know, but we are relatively new into this family thing, right? And this year, we have the joy of celebrating in our sons, Eric and Jacob, in graduating high school. Yeah, and so it's been a big transition for us. Jacob is Jeff's biological son, and Eric is mine. We didn't have two sets of twins, just one. God has really been revealing things to us in this time of transition, and it's really tested my faith, but his word has brought me through. So I'm going to share a little bit today. If you turn into the book of Genesis, you will read about another complex, blended family. You're going to see the story of Abraham and his wife Sarah, of their servant, Hagar, got that right, and their sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Now, I don't intend in covering all 13 chapters of the story of Abraham in the material today, but I would encourage you that if you get the time, this is a wonderful family to be able to learn and read more about and how God worked in and through their lives. Abraham was born with the name Abram, and he was a righteous man who lived under God's direction. He knew God, and he had a covenant relationship with him. And we know that from Genesis 15:6. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as a righteous because of his faith. His faith in God was well established by the time we pick up this story in chapter 22. And that's where we're going to spend the majority of our time this morning. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. On one of the mountains, which I will show you, the next morning Abraham got up early and saddled his donkey, took with him two servants, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place that God had told him about. On the third day of his journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. "Stay here with the donkey," Abraham told the servants. "The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there, and then we will come right back." So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked together, Isaac turned and said to Abraham and said, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "We have the fire and the wood," the boy said. "But where is the sheep for the burnt offering?" "God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son," Abraham answered. And they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac, and he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son Isaac as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Yes," Abraham replied, "here I am." "Do not lay a hand on the boy," the angel said. "Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son." Then Abraham looked and saw a ram caught by its thorns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed as a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham named that place Yahweh Yireh, which means "the Lord will provide." To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Yeah. Okay. The dictionary defines obedience as compliance with an order, request, or law in submission of another's authority. But whose authority should we submit to? Romans 13:1 says, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except for which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God." To be obedient to God, we need to know him. We need to be able to hear his call and respond, "Here I am," in submission to his authority. To know God, we need to be actively pursuing a relationship with him. Well, what does it look like to be active? We need to spend time with him in prayer, in his word, reading the Bible, in practice with other believers, with a servant's heart. The more we spend time with him, with God, the more our faith develops. And the more our faith develops, the more we can hear his call and respond. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. If we are not actively pursuing God, we can miss our opportunity to respond, "Here I am." Abraham's act of obedience is one of the greatest recorded in Scripture. He would have needed to travel over 3 days, 50 miles, to the destination to sacrifice his beloved son, Isaac. Abraham was obedient. And in his obedience, he was prompt and he completed the task exactly how God told him to do so. He followed that request. Now, why would Abraham ask God, or why would God ask Abraham to perform such a task, to sacrifice his son? We know from Leviticus that human sacrifice was a terrible sin. Give the people of Israel these instructions, which apply both to the native Israelites and to the foreigners living in Israel. If any of them offer their children as a sacrifice to Molech, they must be put to death. The people of the community must stone them to death. Yet Abraham, he had faith in God, and he responded, "Here I am." See, he knew God. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son Isaac, even though God had told him, "Isaac is the son when whom your descendants will be counted." Abraham had faith, and he was obedient. Obedience is the evidence of faith in action. I'm going to say that again. Obedience is the evidence of faith in action. When we step out in obedience to God, we are saying, "I may not see what you see. I might not know what you know, but I know that you are a good God and that your ways are always just and that you will provide." Yeah, Abraham had that faith in action. "God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son," Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. Abraham, knowing the character of God, knew he would be faithful to his promises. My faith, your faith, placed in my own abilities, will not produce obedience. Only when our faith is rooted in God can we be obedient to his will. God did not want Isaac to die, but he wanted Abraham to sacrifice Isaac in his heart so that it would be clear that Abraham loved God and his obedience would be evidenced through his faith. His faith was being tested. God tested Abraham not to trip him up, not to watch him fail, but to deepen his own capacity to obey God and thus develop into the character of God that was in his will, to be created into that image that we were all meant to be. See, God refines us in difficult circumstances. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity of great joy. For you know that when your faith is being tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So currently, I have been going through some difficult circumstances of my own. I'm going to bring my notes back a little. It's hard to talk about sometimes. This transformation that I have been going through in watching Eric graduate, who, by the way, did I mention his middle name is Isaac? Transitioning into an adult has been really hard. He doesn't tend to need me like he used to. I can't protect him from the world quite the same. He has his own opinions and his own values. And he is growing into his own identity. And I am so proud of the man he is becoming. But this has been a real big shift in our relationship. And it's been hard. As a young adult, I was on the struggle bus. I was longing and searching for love in all the wrong ways. Headed down a path I am sure would have led to further destruction. I was looking for my identity, and I couldn't seem to find it. And I was looking in all the wrong places. Then God blessed me with Eric, and my identity became Eric's mom. I found love that I could never have imagined, and a purpose and a value that I didn't know existed. I often credit Eric for saving my life. As a young child, Eric helped introduce me to my real identity right here in this church, where I learned that I am a treasured child of God. By the time I stepped foot in these doors, I was a single mom with four children. Eric and his brother Logan had been invited to attend a Wednesday night church activity that some of you might be familiar with, Adventure Kids, and had eventually started attending Sunday mornings with Marlena, the then children's director. I would literally drive up to the parking lot and toss them out to Marlena and drive away, often to go to Walmart to just go shopping with two kids instead of four. And I did that for over a year. And then one Sunday after church, Eric had a conversation with me and he said, "Mom, I want to sit with you in church. All the other kids sit with their families." I attended church the next Sunday, and the people of this church, along with God, wrapped their arms around me so tightly. In time, I rededicated my life to God, and while I have made hundreds of steps forward, I have made even more steps back. But I faithfully can say that I am owning my true identity as a child of God and being transformed into who I was created to be. Yeah. Oh. So last month, I was up at my favorite place, Camp Kellogg, for a children's conference retreat. The theme this year was Ugly Christmas Sweater Party. Yeah, it was super fun. And every year at this retreat, we participate in a prayer walk. Now, a prayer walk is a time where you pray over scripture, you read, you meditate, and then you step out in action often to complete a small task, to be like, yes, this is what I'm going to do. And I must admit, as I was driving up the very windy hill, I felt pretty good about myself. I thought that I was going to go up there, and I was going to live in the joy and the praise, and that I was going to use this prayer walk to praise God for all the good things that he was doing in my life. Instead, I was met with a moment of surrender and obedience. With the theme being around Christmas, it was only natural that the prayer walk was based around the Christmas story. I got to the part in the story where the shepherds go and seek baby Jesus. It says in Luke that they hurried to go and see, and they found Jesus. Just like Abraham, it was a prompt obedience. Now, I imagine logistically that to be able to leave in such a hurry means that they left their flocks in the field, that they had to leave their sheep. So then came the question, what was God calling me to? to lay down so that I may go and seek and see him. What was God asking me in obedience to lay down? I picked up a cotton ball representing a sheep, and I prayed over the scripture, and I prayed over the question. And shortly into my time, it became very evident that God was asking me to lay down control of Eric. See, I had been following God. I had been saying, yes, here I am, surrendering, laying down, living this life, abundant in his desire for me. Yet, I was holding on to control of Eric. I wanted to keep him safe in this little bubble, protected, like only I can. Isn't that funny to think? Only I can. And so I sat there for a while, and tears kind of ran down my face before I finally went, and I laid Eric down. And he's actually the first cotton ball in front of that, little basket there. I had been living my life in freedom in so many ways, yet afraid to step out in obedience to God and lay down what I held onto in my heart most. As I moved to the next station, I found myself under a cross, very much like this one, and I heard God speak to my heart. If I can use Eric to help you, if I can use Eric to save you and to help you find your identity, why don't you trust me with him? Trust me to do the same in his life, for I am the same God in this moment. And out of obedience, I began to release my fears and anxiety to God regarding this transition that whether I like it or not is happening, and that it would be God's will and not mine. In life, we can find obeying God a real struggle. Often we obey God in challenging ways. Sometimes it means giving up something we want. It could be a person, a possession, a position, an addiction. Maybe it's a dream or a goal. It might be something that hurts us, but it might be something that brings us immense joy and happiness. Yet, when we give God what he asks, he returns to us far more than we could ever dream. Genesis 22, 15 through 18. Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. Today, I'd like to give you the opportunity to participate in that same exercise as I did. You all should have received this little Faith in Action toolkit, and in it is your own little cotton ball. I would encourage you to take it out, to pray about it, to think on it, and ask God, is there an area in my life that you are calling me to lay down in obedience? Is there an area in my life that I'm holding on to, thinking I know best, that I am called to surrender to you? And then I would encourage you, after you've spent some time in prayer, to simply step out. I've got some little green grass for for you guys and lay it down. Now, if you came today and you are not ready to lay down whatever that little cotton ball represents, there's lots of grass. We live in Southern Oregon. Pray about it. Take this time to be able to reflect in prayer. We're going to go ahead and have some music available. I'm going to go ahead and step back. And we would just give you this opportunity. If there's something that God is asking you to lay down, it might be big, it might be really simple and small, but he loves it when his children are obedient to him. Thank you so much for everyone in our congregation who has taken the time to be able to listen to you, Lord, today. Thank you for the ways that you're able to speak for us. Thank you for the story of Abraham that we can learn from his example, Lord, to remember that you are good and that you will never ask us to do something that isn't in your will, that isn't of your character and your nature, Lord. God, I pray that as people have laid down these burdens today in obedience to you, that you would remind them of their true identity, that they are a child of God, and may they live out your obedience by faith and action. I ask these things in your name. Amen. Billy Graham once said that mountain tops are the views and inspiration, but the fruit is grown in the valleys. And so as I came back off that mountain, as our fathers and our brothers, our husbands, our sons return home, may we remember that laying something down in obedience only works if we leave it there, if we don't pick it back up. One of my favorite parts of Camp Kellogg, and kids camp specific, is when children make a commitment at camp. They get the opportunity to put a stake in the ground and to stand firm on that truth. Today in your little kit, as you go home, you each have your own stake. And I encourage you to fill it out and to let it be a reminder for you that what you laid down is on holy ground and that God is there with you. So mine says, release control of Eric, because that's the most recent thing that I learned. I have a stake up at Kellogg that says, I'm going to rock being a pastor. Man, yeah, it's a good reminder. So take it with you, ride on it, and commit to making it be your truth, solid and staked down by God's will. God may have spared Isaac. However, he knows exactly what it feels like to sacrifice his only son. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. We want to give you an opportunity today, as we often do here at The Pursuit, that if you don't know God as your Lord and Savior, that today could be a day of salvation for you. It starts with a conversation with God, acknowledging who he is, the creator and the sustainer of everything. Acknowledging that you are a sinner. And it is that sin that separates you from that relationship God wants to have with you so, so much. Asking for forgiveness. And then something really important that we don't always mention. When you ask for forgiveness from God, you need to accept the forgiveness that he so freely gives you. You got to forgive yourself just like God has forgiven you. So if that's you, if you are like, man, I really want salvation, I would invite you to go ahead and pray with us today. Now, as a church family, we pray this prayer together in support of all of the other believers in the room. So I would ask you to repeat after me as we pray this prayer today. Dear God, I know who you are, and I know you know me. I am a sinner, and I'm coming today to ask you for forgiveness. I pray that you would forgive me of my sins, that you would come into my life, and that I would live as a child of God. I ask these things in your name. Amen. So the prayer team is going to be coming on up, and we've got this awesome welcome center out there. And so I would encourage you that if this was a prayer that you prayed for the first time today, we were created to be in connection and relationship. And so tell somebody. The prayer team is a great place to start. The connection center, send us a text. We just want to celebrate with you and get you some next steps into how you can grow this relationship with God and grow into the identity that you are a beloved child. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. You are sent.
Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to today's teaching at Pursuit Church. We pray that the teaching today will encourage your faith in Jesus Christ to draw you closer to him and give you a better understanding of his word. If there's a way that we can minister to you, pray for you, or encourage you in your faith, please reach out to us on our website, pursuitnazarene.org, and click on connection card. Also, you can share this video with others and encourage them. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.